Welcome back to Put Your Effin' Shoes On, the Perfectly Imperfect Parenting Podcast. Here's Jen.
Hi, Mike. How are you? How have things been in this crazy holiday season so far?
Oh, I'm doing great. We got kids coughing and sneezing and boogering all over the house.
Sounds about right. 'Tis the season, as they say. How are your kids with taking medicine? Mine are awful.
What's the pink stuff that's been the same for like 100 years?
Oh, the bubblegum one?
Yeah. They don't take that. They absolutely hate it. And apparently there's no like real alternative for it. I know if you're like a grown up, you just get a pill and they call it a day. But for them, I guess they only offer one flavor and that flavor is gross. I know there's people out there, this is like a what color is the dress thing. Like yeah. Some people love that, but I don't get it. I never liked it. My wife never liked it. I don't know anybody that's ever liked it, but I know they exist because they keep making it the same flavor and that flavor is added. They could add it. They can make it anything, but they keep making it that.
I know they really should offer like the kids fluoride options at the dentist where you can just get a different menu of selections. My kids really despise medicine taking. And then we had all the sickness and I ended up with bronchitis. So I could take a pill because I'm a grown up. They also gave me a cough syrup. First of all, I'm just pissed. I paid like $25 for this. I did video myself for the children to see that mommy has to be a big girl too and take it. And I wanted to be like, take your effing medicine. No big deal. Mm-hmm. I took it. It was vile. I was like, this tastes like a cherry butthole. And the kids will forever love this video. I did apologize that I was beyond impatient. And we're now in the next phase of life where we're going to try to start learning how to swallow pills. And we bought mini M&Ms. And I was like, maybe I should show you how it's done, but I'm just going to chew them because M&Ms are delicious.
Sure.
So that's our next phase.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about your familiarity. I've had a couple of cocktails with cherry buttholes.
Yes. You know, whenever somebody does tell me something tastes a certain way, I also have that same curiosity. And I felt like it was a good reference to make the children giggle. But other than that,
gotcha.
Not really. No, I don't know flavored or otherwise.
All right. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't offer our listeners the opportunity to message the Instagram page and let us know about their experience with cherry buttholes or possible, you know, other bad tasting medicines.
Bubblegum. When I was a kid, I don't know if they still make Tri-Minic. My brother and I really liked Tri-Minic.
Oh, like orange. Basically, that was like McDonald's orange drink if they didn't order it down.
Yeah, that right. Exactly. Like without the ice. That one.
I don't know if they still make that. I don't know if I've seen that in stores. I think Dimetap is probably still around. That was a big one, right? That was the grape one.
Yeah.
But it was like everything in the 80s. It was just sugar.
I know. So it was so good. We've tried every trick. We've tried the chocolate syrup in the tube. We've tried bribery. Actually, when my son had his adenoids and his tonsils out, it was just a non-negotiable. You know, there's sometimes where it's like, okay, maybe you have to take medication. You'll feel better. If you don't, you'll suck it up. But like obviously an antibiotic you have to take. We drove him to the toy store and he had to take it in the parking lot. Because those are the kinds of parents we are. We were so desperate by like day three at three times a day. And I'm like, literally, I will get you whatever you want, but take it here. And then you will go inside. And it turns out he can be bribed. So.
Good. Because there was no bribing my four-year-old. We tried everything. I put it in ice cream. That didn't work. We put it in like a smoothie. That didn't work. Eventually, we just like grabbed him. And it was like an MMA match. And me trying to open up his mouth and squirt it in, to which he just like sprayed it all over the kitchen. Yep. It would have been less traumatizing if they just made it in a suppository and we had to give it to him that way.
Cherry butthole.
Cherry butthole.
There it is. Yeah, we've had that where the it's like wrestling an alligator and then you try to get like the side of the mouth and they still manage to spit it right back in your face. We had like pink bubblegum medication, like splatter paint on our ceiling for, I mean, a good like few months at one point. One flu season was just a good remembering of the entire experience. So fun times. Hopefully everyone's feeling better. And on the
The worst part is he was never acting that sick. So it's like we're giving him this medication for nothing. I mean, he needs it, right? He definitely has something. The test came back, said he's got strep, but he's acting fine.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Whatever. On to the next. Yeah, we luckily were finally out of the sick period, able to have a regular weekend. So we did celebrate a friend's birthday, and friends of ours stayed over, and they brought their elf with them. Do you do Elf on the Shelf?
We do, but we don't move it.
Okay.
And so sometimes he moves. I did it like the right way when I only had one kid, mm-hmm. and he was too young to even really understand. So I dressed the elf up like a G.I. Joe, and every day it was like a different little scene. He was just sat on my bar with like different weaponry. But I haven't done it since then. I mean, we put him out there, and once in a while he'll move, but that's about it.
Yeah, this one, I know, I've seen a lot of really funny ones. And we don't do it in our house, we do Hanukkah at our house. We do have mensch on the bench, so a mensch is like supposed to be like somebody who does good deeds and has a good heart and helps out. It's a Yiddish word. So we have mensch on the bench. And actually, we were at a bat mitzvah, and I said to my son, he was sitting so nicely, and I said, "You're such a mensch." And he said, "And I'm sitting on a bench." He was very excited with himself. So, but he, I guess, is supposed to do good deeds or mitzvahs, as we call them, but he's not very active in our home. So the elf is definitely more fun, and I know mischievous. So when our friend stayed, I was enjoying all of the antics and helping her set up, and she was having the elf interact with the mensch, which was very cute. Additionally, there's now Snoop on a stoop. Have you seen all these?
Yep. Yeah, I saw the Snoop one, yep.
Snoop on a stoop with his blunt, not quite, you know, Christmas or year-round. There's a Martha Stewart one now because they're real-life besties. Forgot what hers is. And then I just keep seeing things all over, like, you know, Dwight on a Sprite, and it's like Dwight from The Office, or just a mom mentally unstable on a table. I've seen all these different ones now. But the elves seem like a really fun time.
Oh, and I've also seen a lot of unstable moms on table.
You know, just like the bar back in the day, back in college, mm-hmm. except now they're all grown and have children of their own.
Oh, boy.
Do you put your presents out if it's for other people before? Nothing. It's always
For other people, for other people, I will. Obviously, for the kids, they stay hidden. Today I had a Amazon box show up that was all busted apart, so they could just look inside, because normally this, you know, all the boxes just kind of accumulate and they see the boxes. They're too young to put two and two together. I'm just like, oh yeah, no, mommy, and you know, my wife's name is on the boxes that come mm-hmm. from Amazon. So just like, yep, mommy ordered more stuff for her, and they're like, yep, that checks out, it's got her name on it.
My son thinks everything that arrives is for him. So we're not doing any gifts until the time comes, which makes me think we're just in this full decluttering mindset, which is kind of around the clock, because actually it's kind of something I've always tried to do. I am the least minimalist human, as you know. I'm just a more the merrier with people, the more food, decorations. I'm an extra like guac kind of person in general. Mm-hmm. I just also really like things to be organized. And I feel like we're just in the midst of it right now before all the new toys and things come in, and trying to get the kids in on it as well. I think I mentioned one time the keep or crap piles my brother does when we give him gifts. I do that with the kids because I think it's fun to say crap. And then also they can sort some of their stuff. Mm-hmm. But the time for the donations, and I've seen that with the elf too, where you pick a toy each day and then they help assist to make it fun that you can. Just trying to get rid of stuff. It's like too much.
Yeah, I just try and make things disappear randomly. If I don't see anybody playing with it for a while, which is like 90% of my kids' toys, mm-hmm. I can kind of make them disappear. The amount of remote-controlled cars that my kids have is insane. You know, there was a time where everybody felt like if they didn't get them one, they would never own one for some reason. So they had to be the person to buy them this thing. And then my neighbor, who is awesome, she comes over for all of the kids' birthdays with like a little gift. And, you know, she's a very good neighbor. But she has gotten both of the boys remote control cars for each of their birthdays for the past 2 years. So, I mean, I've got four remote control cars that are just from her, not to mention like aunts and uncles and family members and all this stuff. So there's a lot of things charging and a lot of batteries that need to be had all the time.
Yeah, the battery thing is like legit. There's always something that needs a little bit of assistance. I think it's so nice to bring something. I always like to bring something. I feel like that's like my love language is gifts. And I do the same thing with kids. I'm like, we have to get rid of stuff. And then I'll go to the store. And I'm like, oh, this is cute. Or they would like this. Or it's all the little like stocking stuffer-esque things or like a little, you know, something for each night for Hanukkah, whatever it is. And then then I get frustrated like with all the fidgets and all the things. And it feels like, oh, it's just one more small thing. But then categorically, it's just too much. I run the school store at the kids' elementary school. My daughter's in fifth grade and it's a fifth grade fundraiser. And I just did a collection for people to kind of recycle their knickknacks and now like resell them to another unsuspecting family who now gets to go home with all of these lost treasures things that you're just like, oh, I can't have
garage sale of unwanted junk.
Pretty much. But it's like, then it's like saves us money from, you know, investing in all these new items. So it's just, I think people are happy to get rid of it. Kids, something new to somebody else. But I always look at all these different things that I came up with a song and dance because kids really like when I perform for don't put it down, put it away. Really try to do that because, you know, it's like, or that one touch rule. Like if you take your coat and you put it on the couch, then you have to pick it back up and you put it here and then like just put it in the one spot.
Next time you're at my house, please sing and perform this dance for mine because every day it's like a hurricane through my little mud room. It's shoes and coats and water bottles and just junker everywhere. So
it is. They just kick off the shoes and take off the coat. And then it's like, that's just an everyday. It's just an everyday life thing. There are different ways of looking at things. My new favorite rule is if you got poop on it, would you keep it? Would you wash it off and keep it, or would you throw it away? And that has helped me through a lot of decision-making processes.
Okay.
I find that one very helpful. There's also, there's like the 12-12-12 rule. So it's like find 12 items to get rid of, 12 items to donate, and 12 to put in their spot. There's a lot of number things. There's the 20 rule, which is anything you can get rid of that you can replace for less than $20 in less than 20 minutes. So if you could buy it again for cheap or replace it in 20 minutes, then just toss it. And then there's the 90-90-90 rule, which is if you haven't used it in the last 90 days and will you use it in the next 90? There's all of these little tricks of the trade that are supposed to help. Do you guys do like a cleanup like as a family, or like the kids will have to put their own stuff away, or do you end up doing it all at the end of the night?
We don't do anything as a family. Okay. Either I do it or my wife does it. We never do it together. And the kids, they'll do it, but it's only, nothing goes in the right spot. We have upstairs toys and we've got the playroom. And the upstairs toys basically just go into two baskets. There's no rhyme or reason. It's whatever is upstairs that they go into those baskets because I want them out of the living room. So I don't want to look at them when I'm relaxing. The playroom is a different story. Everything's somewhat organized, but the kids don't really put it away. That's all on us.
Yeah, because it always sometimes ends up on the parents, which is, I always think we're going to instill the right habit.
It's less stressful if I just do it myself because I'll do it right. It's much like my thoughts on the dishwasher. Is that I would rather you just get out of my kitchen and let me do it because you're going to do it wrong. And nothing infuriates me more than smart people doing dumb things because I spend my entire life at work watching dumb people do dumb things. So I don't want to see smart people do dumb things. And in my head, I have come up with the most strategic way to load the dishwasher, and anybody else that puts anything in there, they've done it wrong.
So and not your wife.
Always my wife. She always does it wrong.
I mean, you do it, not your wife.
No, she'll do it. And it drives me nuts if somebody else starts. Like if the dishwasher is emptied in the morning and somebody else puts like three or four things in there, they've already started us off on a bad foot. The next time I open the dishwasher, I've got to reorganize all the junk that they put in there, you know, to optimize space and whatever. This is a very boring conversation, but it's something that drives me nuts. And I think about it way more than I should all day.
No, but this is real life stuff. So my husband does the dishes more than I do. And we just, that's our system that we got into. But I try to like color coded all the stuff in the house and labeled everything. I try to make it really nice and fun and easy to do. But I just find it's just super overwhelming. So then also, I know for work, my husband has had what's called an all hands meeting, where like everyone on the team is hands on. But you are no longer allowed to use that term for sensitivity to people who do not have hands.
Oh, God. I was afraid that's where you were going.
I thought it was a joke, but he's not joking. So for those who only identify...
I have a question here.
Yes.
Does he work with anybody that's missing their hands?
So that's an excellent question. And the answer is no. There's
are we
no
not allowed to ask? When Fred at the end of the table with his nubs is sitting there, are we not allowed to ask Fred if he has hands?
I don't think you can ask.
The violation if I'm like, hey, Fred, what happened with those hands?
Well, maybe you could say everybody wave goodbye and you can see what happens if it's like on, like, cause he works remote, you know? So unless he's going on a business trip, he might not know.
Fred's not doing a lot of typing in that meeting, I imagine.
I imagine not. And can you say things like my hands are tied now? I guess you cannot. If he's like, oh, I can't do this right now. My hands are tied. So I started saying we're going to have an all hands cleaning instead of an all hands meeting because thank God, and I don't mean to brag, we're very blessed and everybody in my family does have all their hands. So I was thinking that that was a good way of getting like the whole family together and like put on music and set a timer and then have the reward at the end be like, we can play a game or do something fun if it's all cleaned up.
What happens when one of your kids says, mom, you can't call it an all hands cleaning anymore because it's discriminatory against people that don't have hands?
No, I know. And I know that.
Your kids are young enough and cute enough now, or if they started saying stuff like that, you could probably get them adopted pretty quickly.
That's true.
So that might be an option.
That's true. Yeah. Well, for now, we're just going to use all the incorrect terminology. We're going to say keeper crap, and we're going to say all hands cleaning, and we're just going to get done as much as we possibly can. I got a stair basket. My husband hated it, and then I get rid of it. I thought it was going to be brilliant. And it's like a 2 to 3 story basket that like sits on the stairs. Does that make sense? So it's like cut
out.
Yeah,
I already hate it. Yeah, I hate it.
Okay. Yeah, he hates it. He's like, this is just in the way. But yes. I have a terrible habit.
He's a smart man and you have a narrow staircase.
Yes. However, I regardless always put things on the top or the bottom of the stairs to be brought up or down. Mm-hmm. Well, with the hopes that maybe someone will do it.
Yeah, that's great. Except now the basket lives there 24/7.
Correct. So it doesn't live there anymore because he evicted it. But I thought that was like a more compact, less dangerous way of putting things on the stairs because you put it in the basket and then bring it up at the end of the night. But it did not go well. I don't know if you ever watched Everybody Loves Raymond when it was on. There was like the landing to their stairs and they had a suitcase. And she, the wife, wanted the suitcase, was hoping her husband would put it away. He was hoping she would put it away. And then nobody did. Mm-hmm. And then she put like a wedge of cheese in there to see if it would, you know, like get so
the
bad
smell that
it
would. Okay. Exactly.
And then they ended up fighting over who was going to do it. They were like, no, I'm going to be the one. No, I'm going to be the one. It was very relatable. It was a very good.
I can tell you that if we go anywhere and I bring, or if my wife goes by herself, her suitcase will be brought upstairs by me. It will be unpacked by her and then it'll sit in our master bedroom until I put it away.
Okay. All right.
There's just certain things that fall into the husband realm. And it's like anything that has to go, like you need a ladder to access it. Or if it's like bigger than a bread box, I'm the one that moves it.
Yeah. Well, the ladder thing I get, like, you know, our attic is like, we just have everything in there, but I just feel like it's like Narnia. Like I'm just like I can never get there again. Like if it goes there, because I need the help. One time, my husband fell out of the attic. Remember this? I don't know why he was doing this. We were getting ready for a party. I needed him to get stuff from there. He was hanging from the top, doing like dips.
Yeah, like, you got to get it in where you can.
Yeah, what? So he like
you wanted triceps that pop for that party.
Yes, exactly. And I saw him, and I went over and I go, "What are you doing?" And my fault, because I said, "What are you doing?" I startled him. He drops his hand and goes flying out of the attic. Here's some kind of chest popping. And he goes, why would you talk to me when I'm doing something stupid? I was like, oh God, that's my fault. That's on me. And then we didn't even have like ice. I think all the ice was going to the party. I put like frozen peas on his shoulder. Then he like laid there for like 4 seconds. And I was like, all right, I got to get back at it. And he did pop back up because we had, you know, people coming over. But I was like, is this the time? This is the time you're choosing to do an attic workout? But apparently it was. So that's why I don't go up there. It's dangerous.
Same way you knock out a couple push-ups before you go to the club, or like the WWF guys will work out behind, you know, backstage.
Totally. And
you got to look good.
You got to look good. I did push-ups in my wedding dress.
See, there you go.
That morning, you know, you got to be swole for the aisle. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's the decluttering. We're just trying to get rid of. We also do like the subscribe and save for stuff, and sometimes it seems great, and sometimes it's too much. So we have
that's all somewhat perishable stuff, right? It's like
toilet paper. I mean, we have a lifetime of supply of toilet. We're either preparing for like the zombie apocalypse or like explosive diarrhea, but either way, we're ready. Like there's so much, like toilet paper, paper towels, all those things. I used to buy them just one package at a time, which was ridiculous. You know, maybe that was like a COVID mentality. Now I need to like stock up.
Yeah, so that was one thing that I couldn't get by. Like the start, well, you know, COVID, first off, diarrhea was not a symptom. But so the toilet paper thing was a little silly. But living in Manhattan, people would buy like 4 rolls of toilet paper at a time. Yeah. And just growing up where I grew up, it was like, no, you buy whatever the largest thing of toilet paper is, and you've just got someplace to put it. These people would go out, I'm like, how do you just roll the dice and just go like, all right, 4 is enough. And I'm just going to remember that I'm on my last one and it's time to go get more.
Right. Yeah, there was a comedian that said they buy one roll. He's like, what are you trying to quit? He's like, by only buying one at a time. I was like, oh, it's a really good point. So overall, now we're back to normal. So I was seeing this, I don't know, activity-wise, what kind of stuff your kids are involved in and how many activities. And of course, we don't want to overschedule them, but I was seeing this thing about jellyfish parenting. Have you heard of this?
No, because I find most of the parenting material out there to be insufferable.
Okay. And I'm not saying this isn't, but it's by a very reputable source from parents.com. So I just find that there's always a term for literally anything. That's right. So it's just like we're finding a niche way of saying it. But it says
this. Wait, before you tell me.
Yeah.
Jellyfish parenting, does that refer to like the little fish that swim in between the jellyfish tentacles? That they're always safe in the tentacles. Nothing can hurt them.
No, that's a really good guess though.
Okay.
It's more kind of negative. It's more spineless is kind of what it's going for. Which
parents are spineless, or they're making spineless children?
Yeah, this parent. So basically it says like any parent paying attention to their kids' needs, a jellyfish parent is flexible if nothing else. Some may call this spineless, but giving kids the choice. So this is basically about whether or not they should kind of have the autonomy to decide if they're going to attend certain events or activities or things like this. So giving the kids a choice to not attend a lesson or a practice they signed up for is kind of part of the definition. And it says, at its essence, parents lean into the idea and the reality that children are overstimulated by running from activity to activity. And the theory is that parents have dragged their child from lesson to activity to sport, not necessarily based on a burning passion for the activity itself, but largely to fulfill these like societal pressures. So I get it in the sense of, I don't know, I'm always feeling like, how could I do better? And what else could the kids be involved in? And try to pick a category or more than one category, like the arts, a sport, something social, whatever it is. They do religious school once a week. So there's that too. That's kind of a requirement. But of course, they don't always want to do all the things. And I think that's like a really interesting topic of discussion, because I find it hard sometimes that I have to make all the decisions as the responsible adult. And sometimes I actually don't know the answer, because there is the idea of following through with a commitment. There's the idea of being a team player. And then there's the idea of like you put money into something. And then also, I guess as your kid, you're figuring out what your interests are. So do you let them kind of skip out? Do you let them not follow through? Do you say, I'm going to have them complete this until the end of the 6-week course, and then you never have to do it again? I'm just curious your take on that. Because obviously, what if they just want to like play, you know, they just want to play video games all day, or they just want to come home and watch a YouTube show? Like, that's not going to be okay either. There has to be an alternative. So I've had this debate with my friends before as parents, and I was just curious.
I think that if you're right over there.
Yeah. Just, I'm getting attacked by the technology, but everything is fine. I'm going to make it.
Terminator over there? Yeah. Technology? I think that once part of a team, like if their activity is team-based, so if they're part of a team, it's a practice, they're in some sort of a music lesson that is going to culminate with like a concert that involves like a whole school band or whatever. When other people are relying on them, then it's a non-negotiable. You have to be there. Unless you're sick, you're going, because other people are relying on you. You made a commitment. It's very important that you honor that commitment and you don't let your team or whatever down. Now, if it's a individual activity that, you know, whatever, I don't know, you're teaching them, they're going to French lessons or something that's really only going to impact them. You know, if they decide they don't want to do it, if it's one day and they don't want to do it, all right, it's one thing, you know, you're out a couple bucks. If it's going to be persistent or they don't want to do it anymore, why force them? You know, it's so stressful for you to get them where they got to go. Why are you going to force them to do something they don't want to do? My middle guy, we tried doing, I mean, he was young, he was like 4 years old. So we tried doing Little League with him. He hated it, cried every game, cried every practice, just sat in the outfield. I had to stand out there and basically hold his hand. Soccer was really no different, but now he wants to do friggin' dance. So what am I going to say? All right, go do dance, dude. You know, at least it's something. He needs to do all activity, but I forced him to go to those teams because he had honor, you know, he had a commitment. He had a commitment to those other 4-year-olds that he was going to be there. And it's just a silly thing, but I think it's important. I think that once you are going to agree to be part of something, it's important to stick it through.
Right. Yeah. So it's challenging sometimes. What kind of dance is he doing?
Oh God, don't get me started. He's doing, it's an all boys hip hop dance group.
Wow, that's so cute.
It's very cute. It'll be cute for another year or two, and then it'll be less cute, I think, as he gets older. So he's unless for some reason he turns into like Justin Bieber and, you know, doesn't have to hang out with Diddy to get famous.
Yeah. That's no longer the claim to fame that you want. I mean, that's going to be so cute. He's going to get all the girls. That's adorable. It's good, though. I think when they have like the passion, that's what's so important. And I feel like, I know there are certain things like, you know, religious school or like that and a sports conflict. And we've let them kind of like follow through with, you know, the baseball season finishing because Hebrew school goes throughout the year. Like there's sometimes conflicts and we have to try to prioritize or make work what we can. But it's a lot of trial and error. And I feel like it ebbs and flows too. Like my son's tried certain, sometimes didn't like basketball and then liked it better with a different team or a different coach, that kind of thing. And sometimes it just isn't the right fit. So it's hard to know. Like you want them to be comfortable, but it's true. Like it's when you make that commitment and then it's like, is the commitment made because they asked to do it or because we chose to sign them up? And that's also like a little tricky.
Well, I'm not signing them up for anything that they're not asking to do. We tried that with soccer and we tried that with baseball and it bit us in the butt and it was just a miserable you know, a couple hours every week. So that's over. Unless they show some sort of interest, we're not doing it. So my big guy is playing basketball through the winter. And I thought it was going to be, I mean, he wanted to do it, but he also wanted to do it because a bunch of his friends from soccer and from his class were doing it. So when signups came around, I went down to the league and I said, I want to sign up my son. I want him to play with these couple kids that he plays soccer with. And if they're going to be competitive in anything, these kids are all going to be in school together from now through graduation. Let's let them play sports together from now till graduation, because they'll be a nice little team. No matter what they end up doing, at least they'll have that team sport mentality. So I figured if I go down there, they can't screw this up, right? Well, they screwed it up. And they put him on a team with nobody that he knows. And all his buddies, literally all his friends, are on one team. And then there's another team that's got another big group of his friends that are all from the neighborhood. And then he's on this team of, like, nobody. Nobody knows each other. They're just like the Bad News Bears of basketball. And I thought it was going to be an issue, and it didn't. He showed up, and he started playing, and he's making new friends, and it all worked out. But I was pretty nervous, and I'm a little upset because, you know, multiple emails, having gone down in person, this should have been a real no-brainer. And then after he was not on the team that I wanted him on, I found out that I went down there, I talked to the guy that was running it, and he was like, well, you know, the team that your son's on only has like 7 players. The other team's got 14. It's going to be really difficult for me to move him now. And then I found out later that day that a kid on the team that my son wanted to be on dropped out. So I sent this guy like multiple emails, and then he just ghosted me. And this is like, I would say he's not a grown up. He's like a 23 or 24 year old kid. So in my mind, I figured I could just go down there and kind of muscle him into doing whatever I want. But by the time we got down to that first practice, and I realized that it wasn't going to be too much of an issue, I kind of dropped it.
It's a good lesson for him too. It's great that he was so adaptable and able to, like, you know, make the new friends and be part of a new team. And that's really good too, that sometimes you don't always get to be part of the whole group, but it stinks if that was part of the motivation for joining. Because it's the same with my son. Like, soccer was just not for him, but he has a group of buddies that was consistently doing it. And I just kept feeling like he's missing out. But he was like, no, I don't want to do this. It's like, I have other times I'm going to see these guys and hang out, or I'll do, you know, a different sport or a different activity with them. So it's like, I get where some of it is, at least from my perspective, like a pressure or a desire, I should say, for me thinking that it's a good opportunity for them. And they just know themselves well enough to say, like, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. I was listening to something, and I don't recall where, but it was a, I believe she was French or from Belgium, a psychologist that was saying that in the States, we have this mentality with, I mean, not so much maybe with sports, but definitely we do. But in grade school, where we want our kids to stay with their friends. And then the schools will say, well, they need to learn how to make new friends every year as they go. And I guess her thought process, and I guess the more European way of thinking, was they're going to have so many challenges throughout their lives that they should have one constant. And when you find somebody when you find your people, being able to tackle those challenges throughout your life with a group of people that know you and love you and care about you is more beneficial. And I can see both. You have plenty of opportunities to make new friends. You're always going to be meeting people throughout your entire life. You're going to be meeting new people. But being able to tackle something as trivial as going from, when you switch classes, like sixth grade?
Yeah.
So going from one constant classroom to like now you're in like junior high or high school or driving or, you know, shit, one kid's parents get divorced or, you know, whatever life throws at you, at least then you've got this like core group of people that kind of know you. They always have your back and, you know, they're with you forever. It's nice. And I think that's maybe a better way of doing things. I remember I have really close friends from grade school. Mm-hmm. And it was, I mean, we were together because we played the same sports, but every year it was kind of a bummer when we were in grade school to not have them in my class. It didn't affect us too much though. We had that outlet where we were all together.
And then you, it kind of makes it special. Like my son was with his like best buddy from birth in kindergarten, but then now first and second, they haven't been together, but then it's like their bond is just as strong and they still see each other on the playground or the cafeteria, that kind of thing. But it's just, it is, it's nice just to have that comfort. I totally agree. My daughter is like such a boy's girl. So, you know, she has no drama, which is fantastic because she mostly hangs out with the boys. She has a few good girlfriends, but that's just something that I always really think about, that I really like want to make sure she has those friendships and those relationships. But then I also think about a lot of my closest friends have come from actually having kids and later in my adult life who are my long-term best friends for the past, you know, 20 years or whatever it is, 10 years from just college or children. So just interesting how it evolves over time. But those comforts are obviously just really who, the same like you're saying, who just know you and get you and appreciate you for who you are. And she has that and he has that. So I guess that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I guess as an adult, when you're going to make new friends, it's all going to be through your kids. Because I mean, unless it's through work, I guess. But for the most part, the people you're going to spend the majority of your time with are going to be with your children's friends' parents.
Yeah. If you like them. Well, actually, do you remember a while ago we talked about that, that somebody was doing a business card for, right? It was like the parent was giving the business card or something, which is basically just their name and phone number.
Well, I think it was like a pre-written thing that the kid could give to another kid, right? Where it was like, have your people call my people kind of a thing.
Well, it's smart because this, I mean, so many times I've said to the kid, like, just find out the information so I can make a playdate for you. I mean, my son came out of first grade with a girl's phone number written in crayon. Apparently, they're still dating.
Hey, better than lipstick.
Seriously. He asked if I could take them to a picnic, a park, so they could have a picnic date. This was last year. And they're, you know, they're still going strong, but it is helpful, I guess, to be able to just hand out and be like, oh, here's my parents' phone number, make a play date. But
I would vet, I would vet the parents first.
Well, yeah, as I'm saying, like over time, like you hope that, I guess it starts, my friends' kids, a lot of them, even our kids are friends because of us and our friendship with our, you know, as couples. And that's how a lot of this stuff starts. Or think about like, when their first birthday parties or other little things, it's because you've made friends with the parents, you've made friends for them. And then as they get a little older, get into school, or now I'll go in and it's like, oh, you're, you know, I'm just known as like my kid's mom and like to everybody else, right? And like, I love that. And then it's a matter of whether or not you like those parents, or can you get in touch with them, or do you want to hang with them separately, or are you just doing like a child exchange at a drop-off playdate or something, because they're now choosing their friends and it's quite different. And we don't always get to hang with the parents in the same way.
Do your classes, your kids' classes, give out a class list with like their home address and the parents' names and stuff?
They do not. We had that back in the 80s. I think my mom still has the laminated copies from all my classes. As I've been a class parent for my kids every year, and there are just all these rules. We are lucky if we can get an email. And just this year, we've been able to reach out and suggest curating a list for our class in particular. But for whatever reason, whatever the privacy is, we don't even get names, like first and last names. And I don't know why. In preschool, we did, private preschool, but not in public school.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of open source information out there. And I can do a deep dive into basically every kid in the school. So, and our district is not very big. I mean, I can drive from one end to the other in less than 10 minutes. So I can do a little bit of research. And if they tell me, oh, I want to be friends with, you know, Frank, I'm like, all right, well, let's see what Frank's house looks like. And then, you know, you realize it's like a double wide trailer and there's a car parked on, you know, on the lawn on blocks. I'm like, oh. Yeah, we're not going to be giving him that business card, you know?
He just pulled over his dad the other day. And
I mean, yeah. Getting hold of somebody's arrest record, probably helpful.
I'm going to have to give you some information and do a deep dive for me.
I mean, I'm less apt to do that because I'll just, you know, I'll just end the friendship after like a play date or two if I don't like what I'm seeing. But my wife is, you know, typical like mom, like it was like a Facebook sleuth. So she comes up with all the information. She's like, hey, so-and-so went to college with us. Did you know her? I'm like, no. All right, well, don't bring it up because I just found out on Facebook. I don't, like, I haven't talked to her yet. Okay, sure.
They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to my aunt's for the holidays. Oh, is it Aunt Linda or Aunt? It's like,
oh, never mind. While you're there, can you get her recipe for the cranberries?
Exactly. That looked amazing. Let's see. I know there's like, there's now just too much, you know, too much these days. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it is odd when it actually happened today. Somebody had posted a picture, and in that picture was somebody that I knew, not through that person, just it was completely random that they were, I mean, it was just complete, just happenstance. One person lives here, while the other one lives in Texas. They shouldn't not be together. It just was a weird coincidence. And it's just all Facebook, just putting people together.
It's a match made in heaven. I know people who've ended up with their partners from that. So, you know.
From Facebook? Well, the early days.
Facebook. Actually, a mutual friend that way, because I posted a picture of her from an event we had, and then her now husband saw the picture, liked the picture. It was just, it's just, that was their love story.
I wonder if I can equate my marriage to AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh my God. Flashbacks to the dial-up and then seeing my crush's screen name. And then hoping we didn't get kicked off. Mm-hmm. And then I remember printing the conversation back in the day. It was like, hey, what's up? What's up? Not much. You. It was a whole, you know, real, real deep stuff. And then, which is basically like texting now, but copying it and sending it to another friend so you could see it. But I accidentally sent it to him. Like our conversation. It was like, oh, I just wanted you to see how great it was.
I mean, those were the early days of computers and the internet. You'd just be like, oh, whoops.
Yeah, that's my fault. Then like the away messages, it was like.
So that was the move in college for dudes anyway. It was like you just go to bed with the volume on your computer all the way up and never put up an away message and just wait for somebody to be like, hey, are you having trouble sleeping? Like, oh, well, I'm in there.
That is a good ticket. Yeah, that is a good ticket. Now mine, I'd like. Loving college life, call anytime, which is like the lamest. But my favorite one was
that's pretty lame.
It is so lame. And but then my good one was like off to the gym, be back thinner. That just cracks me up. But then it was always a quote like after the party, it's the after party. You know, it was always or some like lyrics.
Just mostly just Gandhi, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, yes.
You were super deep.
Yes, Gandhi, Nas, whatever.
Actually, gym, be back thinner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, that's where I got it from. Yes, yeah. And Buddha was similar. Yep.
Well, Gandhi actually stuck to his diet, though.
Yes, this is true. This
yeah,
is
Buddha true. Not so much.
Not so much. No, that was when we started college day one. We all went around and said, "What is your biggest concern?" And people were like, "I miss my family or the workload," and I was like, "The freshman 15, like so difficult for me." Like, I survived ish. It's more like the sophomore 16, but it's fine. It's fine. We all made it through.
We survived.
We survived.
All right. I will. There was two things that were in the news that I wanted to talk about.
All right.
One. Did you hear about this mom that got arrested for letting her kid walk home?
Oh, this sounds like a bad like joke. Like, did you hear about like this kid walked into a bar? Anyway, go ahead. Tell me more.
So this mom in North Georgia, she's 41-year-old, she got arrested. She's got like four kids. She had a 10-year-old son. He was walking to a Dollar General store that was less than a mile from their house. Some passerby saw the kid and was like, you know, he looks like he's in distress. And called the police. The police showed up. They're like, does your mother know you're out here? And she said no. Or the kid said no. So they go to the house and they question the mother, who was like, I wasn't super concerned. Like, you can do that. And they ended up arresting the mother on reckless endangerment, which, at least in this state, that wouldn't really, I don't think it really works. But I'm curious as to what you think. Your oldest is how old?
10 and a half.
All right, Alan, it's a little bit of a busy road. I don't know if I'd have your 10-year-old walk from your house to, let's say, that whatever that little diner thing is.
Yeah.
But that's probably a mile. Like, my kids from their schools, just under a mile. And I would say at 10 years old, I'd feel pretty comfortable with them walking back from there or walking to school.
Yeah. She walks, well, so she's been wanting to walk home from school, and it's, I still get super nervous. I trust her. I don't trust the other cars, typical mom stuff. But lately I've been letting her start to dabble and do that. My question is, well, I guess I would know, right? I guess if somebody saw her walking home and said, does your mother know where you are? She would know. I yes, the answer would be yes. But okay, so what if that kid was at a friend's house and got permission from another parent? Like, if I sent my daughter to someone else's house and the parent let her then go walk into town, and I didn't know where I didn't know she was going to town, but I knew essentially where she was. I knew she was in the care of this parent.
I mean, legally you would be fine.
Right. So, but I don't understand. Also, if this mother was worried and called the police to look for him,
she would also
not be in trouble.
No, if she said, like, oh, my kid is missing, she would have been fine. The issue seems here that she didn't know where the kid was and was not concerned. And then they ended up hitting her with this reckless endangerment charge, which seems crazy to me. Her name is Brittany Patterson. 41 years old, from North Georgia. I looked on a map where their house is to where the store is, and it is like country road. Like, it looks like every scene in Forrest Gump where he's running. It is just, it's wide open. There's really nothing to worry about, seemingly. Yeah. I mean, the shoulder, there's no sidewalks, but the shoulders are wide. You know, there's no reason for the kid to be like walking in the road. It seems silly. It seems like the cop who responded just felt like they had to do something. And unfortunately, while we're kind of entrusted to do what we think is best, some people have this like, well, just let the judge sort it out kind of a thing. And that seems like that's what happened in this case. The judge, I guess, was going to, I guess it was just going to be some sort of like a negotiation toward the end. I don't think the reckless endangerment was going to fit. But it got kicked over to their family services, who wanted to force the mother to put like a live 360 tracker on her son's phone. I don't know how you feel about live 360. I think it's a great tool, but I don't want the government telling me I have to use it.
Right. Also, she has three other children.
Yes.
But she's only required to track this one.
Apparently.
Interesting.
I don't know the ages of her other three kids, but yeah, this is the only one that she needs to track, apparently. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think that she should just say no and it'll all probably go away. Because I don't see a crime here, but whatever.
Yeah, that's a wild law. Also, I guess it's just because she wasn't concerned, they think it's negligent that she wasn't concerned. Is that what, if I sent my kid to your house, right? I'm not concerned. I trust you as the parent to watch my kid. So if you then like took them for ice cream and didn't tell me that you took them for ice cream, that's not a crime, but I didn't know that you took them for ice cream, but that's not because something was wrong. It's just because we didn't discuss it.
I think they're looking at this the same way they would look at it if you had like a toddler that was able to get out of the front of your house and was just spotted walking down a road. And those are two very different things.
Very different things. Completely different.
It seems like that's how they're treating this. So the GPS thing on the phone seems like they feel like they need to do it. So one more of those things where like they feel like they have to do something.
Right.
Anyway, cool. She's out on bail right now, pending trial, and she faces up to a year in jail for reckless conduct.
Wow.
Yeah, which is not going to happen. She's not going to get anything. This is all going to get thrown away.
I hope so.
So all they did was inconvenience a family. She's going to get probably thousands and thousands of dollars in legal fees, and nothing will change once this trial goes away.
Does she have a partner? Is she married?
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. I'd be curious what their view is on this. I mean, my 10.5-year-old can stay home by herself for a little bit. She's babysat. If we go somewhere super local, but she's babysat. We just went out this weekend. She stayed home with our little guy and another little friend. And, you know, we've had the alarm system set. We're perfectly comfortable. Mm-hmm. But that's an old enough age, in my opinion, to, or it's, I guess it's not of age. It's if they're responsible. but she's responsible. So maybe they felt that this kid was okay to walk.
It says during the arrest, Patterson also said to one of the deputies, last time I checked, it wasn't illegal for a kid to walk to the store. The deputy replied, it is when they're 10 years old, which I mean, I don't know the laws in Georgia, but I'm pretty sure that that is not a law in Georgia. The arrest warrant claimed Patterson willingly and knowingly did endanger the bodily safety of her juvenile son. That seems like a stretch. The unfortunate here with the arrest warrant is has to be written in legalese because you have to spell out the law that's broken. So that willingly and knowingly endanger the safety of her son, like that's verbatim out of the law.
Right.
It's not like the cop didn't use his own verbiage for that. He needed to spell out the crime in the arrest warrant.
Is he trying to make some kind of quota?
No, I think it's just everybody's looking to pass the buck because they don't want to be responsible for anything.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a stretch, but they could say, well, if I didn't arrest her for this, the next time her son is just wandering around, he could be run over or kidnapped or, you know, who the hell knows?
I feel like it's like prevention. So as an officer of the law, how do you feel about this?
Oh, I think it's ridiculous. Well, first off, this is not the law. Yeah. This is somebody that's taking the law out of context because they don't want to be autonomous enough to just say, all right, this kid seems fine. Parents not concerned. All right. Am I concerned about the kid's well-being? The kid seems fine to me. All right. We can move it on. Hey, do you want to ride home? Hey, parent, do you know your kid's over here? Do you want me to bring him home? That should be where it ends right there.
Yeah.
But they went a different way. I'm really surprised that it even got to where it is now. I would have assumed that once the parent was arrested, that would have went to the district attorney or whoever was handling it, and they would have dropped it on the like over the phone. Basically, they would have brought the person, the mom, into the station. They would have finished all of the arrest paperwork, sent it over to the county attorney or whoever's handling it, and they would say, yeah, you don't have a case here. And that would have been the end of it. But for some reason, everybody just keeps kicking a can down the road.
Yeah, they're just dragging it out. I know there's a law with not having the kids stay in the car. I actually don't know what age is okay, but I remember as a kid sitting in the car with my brother, we would just play silly games while our mom went in and grabbed three things from the grocery store. But you're just so
in the car. What are you talking about?
Not her. She gets hungover from three sips of Prosecco, so no bar for her. But I remember when my son was a baby, it was a pouring rain, and I literally just had to run in somewhere. But I was petrified because I had heard stories of people getting arrested for leaving the kid in the car. So I would just bring him in, which I thought was worse, like bringing him out in the rain and in and out of the store when he was sleeping. I parked in front.
In a lot of ways, it is. I would say because I leave my kids in the car, and they're fairly young.
Yeah,
but it's only for short things. Like today, they whined and complained that I ended up bringing them in anyway. But I had to run into the bakery for a loaf of bread, and I had no problem leaving them in front. The one thing I would say about that is, if you're going to leave them in the car and the car's running, make sure that you can actually lock the doors.
Right.
And if you can't, like my car won't allow me to lock the doors. If it's running, I would say shut the car off. Make sure that it's not going to get too hot or too cold. Like in the summer, I would never do it.
Of course.
And in the winter, I would just blast the heat on my way to wherever I was going because I know I'm only going to be in there for 5 minutes. You know, it's not going to get cold. And I'd run and do my thing and then come right back out.
That's probably what it is, though. Of course, I would never, ever, ever do it if it was longer than a few minutes. And I would always make sure I could see them. But I still haven't done it because I'm still afraid. Now they just come in with me anyway. The necessity would have been when they were littler and the buckling and unbuckling and the in and out of the car seat. Now they're autonomous, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But I never did it then because I was petrified. However, I guess I can see that there's no way of saying how long the kid was in the car, right? So I guess that's why. Like we know, okay, I'll be in and out. I'm going to go get the loaf of bread and come back. But I'm sure there's other people who do go to the bar or who get a loaf of bread and the rest of their grocery list for 40 minutes and that's where it would be super unsafe and negligent. So I guess it does make sense overall. It's just frustrating when you're just, you know, you have a good intention and you can't prove it, I guess. So I never did it.
Yeah. Most of that stuff though, it's not criminal. Most it gets referred to whatever jurisdictions, like family services, child protective services, or what have. And at the most, they'll do like a little investigation where they come out and they'll interview you. And then they realize, oh, these people aren't crazy. Oh, their home is clean. There's food in the refrigerator. And then they call it a day. It's pretty difficult to get your kids taken from you.
Yeah. People would come to my house and say, oh, well, they do have food in the refrigerator. There's a lot of food in the refrigerator. They must be having a party. Oh, their house is not clean, but I could tell they're trying to declutter. And I could see their color-coded organized family bins and a stair basket. And she seems like a good person. So I trip over all of it. That's what I used to say. I'm like, nobody's going to try to rob us because they're going to think somebody came in and just didn't take anything. Like, they came in, destroyed the place, but they're like, we don't want any of this crap either, and we're just going to throw it all around. So, although my house is actually particularly clean today, I just wanted to say. I just like to mention that once in a while. It's very, very, very spotless.
Your house goes from like 0 to 100 very quickly.
That's literally what it is. Yes. And I was actually talking to my mom the other day. I'm like, I got to stay home because I'm just trying to clean up and organize. And she's like, I've never heard of anybody do that so frequently. And I'm like, because there's just always something else to put away. So that's where we're at. What's your other news story?
Okay. So this one comes out of just various parts of Europe. 11 babies in Europe have developed hypertrichosis, commonly referred to as werewolf syndrome.
Oh my God.
Yeah, with excessive hair growth over their entire bodies after exposure to their caregivers' topical hair regrowth medication. Babies and toddlers were exposed to medication containing 5% of hair regrowth compound minoxidil. According to the report, caregivers had been prescribed the medication for baldness as well as some sort of alopecia, which is an autoimmune disease that attacks your hair follicles.
Yeah.
So there was a study in Spain that began investigating minoxidil exposure in April of 2023. After a baby boy developed excessive hair on his back, legs, and thighs over the course of 2 months. From there, they used skin to skin with people that had used a lotion to help with hair regrowth. The kids, because, you know, kids, their skin's not as much of a barrier to the outside world as it is for an adult, absorbed this stuff and started growing like a crazy amount of hair.
So this is not from the bloodstream. This is literally a topical issue.
This is topical, although this is funny. They were saying that they got it either through the skin or through their saliva from sucking on treated body parts.
Okay.
And to me, I'm just wondering who's out there in Europe trying to get hairy nipples.
This is for people who are trying to grow hair. Not trying to get rid of hair. Okay.
No. They're trying to grow hair. So this would be either people with alopecia or people that are bald that want to stimulate hair growth. So they use this topical minoxidil to try and grow hair.
On their breasts, apparently. Well,
the way it was written made me chuckle. It's believed that babies absorb the topical minoxidil either orally by sucking on treated skin or through skin-to-skin contact. So to that I say, who is trying to put this stuff on their nipples to generate hair growth on their nipples?
Right. I know. I
presume that babies could suck on other things, like, you know, an arm or whatever. But I do think that is way funnier if you're putting it on your nipples.
It's way funnier. I mean, if you are doing skin to skin, or they're just on your, I guess, chest in general, but also what female is trying to grow any hair on her body at all?
Well, it doesn't mean that it's from their females. It just says caregiver, so it could be from dad who's trying to grow hair. I don't know if you would put that stuff all over your body. I don't know how it works. I got a luscious head of hair. It's perfect. It looks, I'm like John Stamos. It's incredible. Yes,
I always have that.
Yes, I know. It's you're not the only one, Jen. Believe me, I know. I put out a survey once a year and I ask people what they think. But I don't know if you have to put it in the affected area or if you just put it everywhere and just hope for the best. Hope that the stuff knows where it's supposed to go to grow hair. I don't know.
Right. It's not targeted for the hair in your head. Because at first I was trying to figure out, not to stereotype, but more typically, males, I would imagine, would take something like that for hair growth versus females.
I would imagine, yeah.
But that would, I would imagine, be more for hair in your head, unless you had a, you know, chemo or something where you lost hair and you were trying to regrow it. That I would understand. And I mean, I'd understand any of it. That could be an interesting reason why. But again, not on your body. There's nothing, there's no part of me that would ever put it on my chest or my arms or any of it.
What if your husband, just had, that was what he was into?
I would say I'll miss him terribly.
He was like, I think you're beautiful, but I think if you had hairy breasts, that's what would do it for me.
If that was his kink, I think we need to see other people. What if I said to him, I think you need hair on your head?
I wonder if they make a boob merkin. Can you get like a tit toupee?
Oh, you know, there is probably a market for that somewhere. I have not seen a lot of tit toupees, but I would imagine.
Find out if titoupee.com is available. I think we need that.
I will. And maybe if not, we could start it.
Yes, one more venture for us.
One more venture. I also always wanted to start Match.com, but for socks, looking for their soulmate.
I like where your head
is. I have a real sock matching issue. That's another side hustle, but we'll talk about another day. Oh my goodness, the amount of socks. I have like a sad Santa sack of socks. Say that 10 times fast.
There's a lot of alliteration going on here.
A lot of alliteration. It's just, there are so many. And for whatever reason, whenever I do laundry, I just feel like I never put them together.
I don't have that problem. If I lose a sock, it's off to a better place.
I need to just buy all the same sock for everybody, but we've gotten into these fun pattern ones. It's a whole thing. And now I'll never match them again. It's become a full-time job or lack thereof because it just sits in this giant bag.
Well, it's always good to have a hobby.
It's good to have a hobby. Anyway, I digress. You know, I know in certain parts of the country, some people let certain hair grow out. Maybe it's more coveted than we realize.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I'm just, I'm concerned with those hair growth things because if it's not targeted, if it just goes everywhere and it just like helps this, like the areas that don't have an issue growing hair, which for me would be like, oh, my ears are going to all of a sudden be crazy hairy.
Right.
I feel like the hair in my ear is like piano wire thick and it grows like if I let it would just like an inch in an hour or something. It's insane. It's an everyday job to make sure that I don't look like an old man.
Mm-hmm. So all babies are born with that coat of hair anyway, right? So does it say at what point they're starting to grow this hair and have they figured out if the lack of contact makes it go away? Because I would imagine this is something if it's a reapplication and you're no longer having skin to skin or sucking on a tit toupee, that maybe it would then fall off. Or are you shaving your newborn's back?
It doesn't say anything about at what point it would go away. But I would imagine, yeah, babies are like kind of hairy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it does just fall out with a little bit of time. I would say wax the baby, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want, because they have baby soft skin. You don't want to start shaving that. It's going to get all rough.
Or like laser treatment, baby laser. Mm-hmm. That seems all around good for their development.
Yeah, that was like that Always Sunny episode where they take the kid to a tanning salon.
Oh, yeah.
Like just to get a base.
Yeah, I mean, but like vanity first, right? I mean, you want to look good for all those newborn pics. And
as they say, beauty is pain.
It is. It really, really is.
All right. That's it for this episode of Put Your Effing Shoes On. Be sure to follow us on Instagram. Follow us and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all those good places. Put your effing shoes on.
And take on the parenting world. Drama, snacks on repeat, parenting chaos.
just try to make it without losing our minds.